This is China Business Cast, your guide to doing business in the wild, wild east. We're here to get detailed and get personal with experienced entrepreneurs making things happen in China. If you want to learn from on-the-ground accounts of how business actually gets done, this is the program for you. Hello and welcome back to China Business Cast. So it's been a while and I finally finished up my 2 months trip in North America and in Thailand, and I'm back in Shenzhen. So China Business Cast is back to the regular bi-weekly publishing schedule. So thanks for sticking around and staying subscribed to the show. Now let's get right into it.
Today's guest, Frank Lavin, is the CEO of Export Now, a company that helps international brands sell to Chinese consumers via Tmall, China's largest B2C e-commerce platform. Among the brands Export Now works with are the National Football League and Tabasco Sauce. The company handles everything from customs clearance to localization to trademark registration to order fulfillment and customer support, making selling in China a turnkey experience for international brands. Today, we're here to chat about the e-commerce market in China and some of the intricacies of bringing foreign brands to China. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Thanks, JP. Good to be here.
Fantastic. I'm very excited about this topic today. E-commerce is one of my passions, and e-commerce in China is such a big opportunity. And I'm really looking into digging into some of the intricacies, you know, of bringing foreign products into China and the process of marketing those products to Chinese consumers online via e-commerce.
JP, I think you sum it up well. We could say two of the most powerful business trends in the world today are the rise of the Chinese consumer and the rise of e-commerce. And our little company deals with both of these trends. So it does make it exciting. It makes it fun. And it also, we hope, makes it profitable for the companies with which we work.
Yeah. Before we get into the details, I'd love to get a little bit of background about your China story. Can you tell us about when you first came to China or were in contact with China, and what led you to what you're doing today?
Well, tell you, JP, for most of my adult life, I've had a China passion or China orientation. I started taking Chinese as an undergraduate student at Georgetown University. I did studies abroad in Taiwan at National Taiwan Normal University, worked on my Chinese, continued my Chinese studies back in the U.S., but then had a chance to serve in China, work in China, both in government, in the U.S. government, and in the private sector with Citibank and Bank of America. In government, I worked at the U.S. Commerce Department in the first Bush administration and in the second Bush administration, worked on China export promotion, China trade negotiations, China investment, just helping U.S. companies succeed in China. And I did kind of the same work when I was in banking. I worked for Citibank and Bank of America, but it's somewhat the same work or somewhat the same goal, which is we're simply trying to help our clients, our customers, succeed in the market. And of course, from government, it's on a policy basis, on a trade promotion basis. On banking, it's more of a financial set of questions, but it's broadly speaking, at least the same orientation. So I'd spent much of my professional life in that space. And then about 3 years ago, we set up Export Now, this new company, solely to work in the e-commerce space in China and help foreign companies succeed in that channel.
So 3 years ago, let's take a step back into, you know, the beginnings of the business. What was the opportunity you saw in 2010, and why did you decide to pursue it then?
Right. What I saw in 2010, and this is a pattern that's gone on for a number of years, is the enormous growth in e-commerce in China. That China, although it's the second largest economy in the world, it's the largest e-commerce market in the world. And it's the fastest growing e-commerce market in the world. So there's an extraordinary opportunity there for businesses if they can get into that market. But at the same time, it's not easily or readily accessible, especially for the mid-tier foreign businesses. The big foreign businesses such as Nike and Procter & Gamble and so forth, they're pretty sophisticated when it comes to international commerce. They have a long China experience, and they can come to terms with China e-commerce on their own. But for the mid-tier companies, they just don't have that kind of experience and that kind of personnel strength to tackle those sets of issues. So it's a real barrier for them about how to get customs clearance, how to get regulatory approval, even mechanically how to set up an e-commerce shop in China, order fulfillment, foreign exchange questions. There are a series of hurdles there that really make it tough for a mid-tier company. That's where the opportunity lay for Export Now.
Mm-hmm. And on this podcast, we're always interested in the nitty-gritty details of business. So maybe we can step in and talk about, you know, for a foreign brand to set up the capability to sell via e-commerce in China, what are all of the steps that they need to go through?
No, that's a great question, JP, because there are about six or eight. And look, all of these steps are navigable. All of these steps can be solved, but it, for a lot of companies, it just comes down to cost-benefit analysis. For example, let's say you're a U.S. company with $500 million in sales, and you could readily sell 1% of that, $5 million online in China. Well, on the one hand, that's not a small amount that's worth pursuing. On the other hand, at $5 million out of $500 million, you can't really put a team into Shanghai to make it happen. So it's, you want to find that market, you want to earn that extra $5 million in sales, but in terms of cost-benefit of analysis, there's only so far you can go to reach that goal. So what are the six or eight steps or six or eight hurdles that might stop a company from doing that? Well, first, there's inbound logistics, just international shipping, getting the product to the port in Shanghai. Then there's customs clearance, making sure that it's compliant, that it has regulatory approval. So all jurisdictions, all countries have an approval process, for example, for food or wine or cosmetics, that it's healthy and it's a safe product. It has to be approved. China has a labeling requirement, as most countries have, that there has to be a China-specific label affixed. So there's a series of steps just to get your product in the market, just to make sure your product is kosher, that we can handle for you. Then there's warehouse operations, where you have a warehouse in the free trade zone or warehouse in country. As soon as you bring product in country, of course, it's dutiable. There's a VAT attached to it. There's duties attached to it. So most people want a balance between having a warehouse in the free trade zone and having a warehouse in country. We run both warehouses for our clients so that we can manage cash flow on an as-needed basis. Once the product is in country, in the in-country warehouse, labeled and compliant and so forth, then we'll get to work on the web page. These steps typically run simultaneously in effect, but they're implemented sequentially. So what we want to do there is really look at the company's home market web page, whether it's US or UK, wherever they're from. But let's look at what they're doing in their home market. Let's look at the products they're selling. Let's look at the message, the brand positioning, the photographs. We really try to capture that brand message and adapt it for the China market, so the Chinese consumer has the same experience as the U.S. consumer, right? So we're telling the exact same story. We're maintaining brand integrity. We put up that web page. We have to work through with the company the price points. There can be some adjustment in pricing depending on tariffs or logistics cost and so forth. But the pricing in general keeps pretty close to home market pricing. Then we're all set to go. We put this web store up on the Tmall platform, as you said, which is part of the Alibaba Group. It's the largest e-commerce platform in the world, over 500 million registered customers. We'll work with the company on whatever kind of outreach or marketing or social media they want. Again, our starting point is normally tell us what you do in the home market, what your keyword search items are, what kind of marketing campaign, or if you use Twitter or what you do, we can adapt those, find local variants in the Chinese market to push sales. We'll do last mile delivery. We'll execute the transaction. We'll do all customer contact work, take inquiries and so forth, and collect funds. And then we remit the funds out to the U.S. company or the wherever the company is. We remit the funds out in hard currency, in the currency they want. And we also give that seller, that supplying company, a portal so they can track, they can follow these transactions and their cash position on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm. You know, just getting a product in China alone, it sounds like there are a lot of steps. And then again, putting that product online and selling it and collecting Chinese RMB and then having that Chinese RMB moved outside into another currency, those are all obstacles that if a small company were to tackle, you know, they'd really have to put a lot of man hours and effort into solving that. So,
well, that's exactly the point. We say internally, think of 100 U.S. companies each selling $2 million into China. What we'll have in that instance is a $200 million business, but each participating company in that business is only at the level of $2 million. So by working with us, they're getting $200 million worth of infrastructure, warehouse support, IT, customs clearance capabilities. They're getting world-class management support. even though their own particular sales might be at the $2 million level.
Yeah, I definitely see the value proposition for a medium-sized U.S. brand looking at entering China. But here's my question. You know, setting up all of these steps is not a simple thing to do. How were you able to set up this sizable operation from the get-go? Was it something from your previous experience that really helped you and you were able to connect things together?
Well, I mean, you're right that it was somewhat complicated to do. We joke internally, this is a barrier to entry. You can't just decide you're bored and you want to go set up your own e-commerce company because it took us pretty much about a year from the time we started the company to the time we launched sales, because we had to, there are legal and regulatory requirements. So you have to register your company and you have to get trading company privileges and you have to capitalize the company and so forth. And then there's a series of mechanical challenges where you actually have to get not just one warehouse, but two warehouses. You have to put together an IT team, a web design team, a fulfillment team. We had to work out arrangements with Tmall, with Alibaba, so that they were very comfortable with what we're doing and we could cooperate closely. So there were negotiations on that end as well. So, and then as you point out, you also need to find a bank you can work with and understand the documentation process so that you can do outbound remittance for your foreign currency. You can switch your currency into a foreign exchange and then and wire it out. So there's a series of disciplines that had to be grown and learned and established. It took about a year for us to put together. We now have 30 plus people in Shanghai. So we have teams that work on web design. We have teams that work on compliance issue. We have warehouse operations team, fulfillment team, et cetera, et cetera. So we feel pretty good. We're at a reasonable state of maturity now, and we're excited about how far we've gone in 3 years.
Okay, I see. That makes sense. And I read this Business Week article that talked about Export Now, and I think one of the first sentences was, Frank Lavin is someone with a lot of guanxi in China. And even you, it took a year to get the whole operation set up and smoothly running.
Well, yeah. And look, I mean, I've spent a lot of my life in China, and I try to take China very seriously. And I think over time that leads to strong communications and good mutual respect. But at the end of the day, you still have to meet all of the legal requirements, the regulatory requirements. You still have to acquit yourself according to the rules of the road. So it's good to have a positive relationship. It's good to be able to work with people and help fix problems. But there's still a step-by-step approach to a lot of business activity in China. What we say, though, is the fact that we took a year to do this means we can now, we've built the machine, so to speak, we've built the system so people can call us up from the U.S. or elsewhere and they can fit into that system and it won't take them a year. As we say, we've already built the condo, if you will, and anybody can go take a unit in the condo.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about that then. So the first year after you've set everything up, or maybe even before that, you were already talking to customers. Who are some of the first brands that came on board with Export Now, and how did you get them on board?
Well, I have to tell you, we had a little evolution in our business approach over the last few years, JP. We first started with the idea that what we would do on Tmall is we would run a department store, and then any product could show up in our department store and we would take it on a product basis. So in the initial year of activity, we focused much more on specific products. In the second year, we focused more on brands and strategic market entry to China. So we do have a department store and we do have products on the store. It's been more fruitful in our view to focus on flagship stores and larger scale market entry approaches where one company might have dozens or even hundreds of products. And that just shows a more serious commitment, a more serious budget approach to the process.
Mm-hmm, I see. So instead of just setting up one Tmall store where you may be carrying products from all of these different brands, you sort of have a flagship Tmall store for representing that brand in China and the multitude of products, right?
Exactly right. You know, and again, I think this has something to do with the increased awareness in the United States of the importance of the China market, that it's not just a distribution channel, it's not just a place to sell your product, but it's a strategic market for U.S. companies. You've got to, sooner or later, develop a China strategy. You've got to have some kind of China footprint. And an e-commerce flagship store allows you to immediately establish that national presence. So your brand is known, people can find you in search engines easily, you can start the discussions. And what we've seen, JP, over the last year or so, is that it's the e-commerce store is now the gateway to traditional channels. Once you're in the market and selling, it's easier for a traditional channel to start the discussion because your product now has credibility in the market. It's now proven in the market. And you can sort through, is there a chain of stores in the city that might want to also carry your product? So it makes a much more powerful traditional channel discussion just to get your product online.
Yeah. So let's now shift attention a little bit. And I really want to get your thoughts and your perspectives on the e-commerce market in China, because you're sort of in the trenches and living it. We all know, some of the stats are, Taobao or Tmall has more sales than Amazon and eBay combined, and they sold over $1 billion in one day on, I think it was November 11th or something like that. Can you paint a broad picture of what you see as the current e-commerce market, and also where are people buying in terms of the stores, and what are people buying online?
Yeah, you put your finger on it. The Chinese e-commerce market is the largest e-commerce market in the world, and that's a fact that surprises a lot of Americans, because we know the U.S. economy is still larger than China. So how could the Chinese e-commerce market already be larger than the American? Well, in our view, it's because the U.S. has a much stronger traditional channel system where there's shopping malls and department stores and very well established patterns of distribution and commerce in these traditional channels. China never really built that out. They were just starting to build that out with the advent of e-commerce. So the United States and Europe would be similar to the U.S. has 100 years or 200 years of commercial history and traditional channels, and China just doesn't. So the point is, you don't have the shopping mall density, you don't have the car ownership in China that you'd have in other markets. So it's, for a lot of people, it's just easier and faster to go online. So for a lot of groups, particularly younger people, more tech-oriented people, e-commerce becomes a preferred channel, and the store is the second best alternative, right? So it really drives commercial activity. As we say, in the U.S., e-commerce is icing on the cake, but in China, it's the cake. In the U.S., e-commerce can account for about 7% of retail sales, but in China, e-commerce accounts for about 30% of retail sales. So just a much bigger phenomenon. Now, in that world, one big difference with the U.S. is most sales in China are done on platforms, such as Tmall being the dominant platform. In the U.S., most e-commerce sales are done on standalone store bases. So, for example, if you wanted to buy a Nike shoe in the U.S., you would just go to Nike.com and you'd be talking to the Nike store. If you wanted to do this in China, you would go to Nike.tmall.com. So it's a Nike store, but it's on the Tmall platform. So something like 80% of e-commerce transactions in China take place on a platform basis, and all of our stores are on the platform. This is for a few reasons. One, let's not forget that no matter how strong or powerful your brand is, it's known a lot less well in the new market, in the China market, than in the home market. So it's helpful to you and helpful to the consumers to aggregate this on a platform where there's a lot of traffic and a lot of activity. You're just much more likely to get seen. It's a lot less expensive than having to build out your entire brand from scratch in this new market. So that's one key reason, that you just have all the traffic on the platform. The second key reason is the question of brand authenticity or brand piracy in China, where this can be more of an issue in China than it is in more developed markets. So Tmall's got a solution for this, because Tmall is purely a B2C platform. The only entities that may sell on Tmall are the original manufacturer or authorized agent, meaning no unauthorized third party. So when you go to the Nike store on Tmall, you are talking to Nike. You're not talking to somebody who just got some secondhand Nikes, or someone who pirated some Nikes, or informally got some Nikes somehow. The only people selling Nikes on Tmall is Nike. And that's enormously reassuring to the Chinese consumer that there's brand integrity. So we have to go through a rather elaborate series of steps. When we bring a new company on board, we have to prove to that to Tmall that we are the authorized agent. The company has to have documentation that says we are the official agent for the company. We have to be able to go back and talk to the company's lawyer to validate this. So we can take several weeks before they approve the fact that this store is the official store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely see that as something that's different from sort of North America and China. So much of the transaction volume is over these platforms. And I believe, the trust and, brand issue is a big part of the reason.
Yeah, absolutely right. And indeed, I think in China, it's also one of the reasons why the e-commerce channel is preferred to the store, because on Tmall, you're only going to find the official product, the authentic product. But in a store, you can't be 100% certain what you're going to find. I mean, there are even people who've gone so far to set up entire stores that are not authorized stores. So people being quite creative when it comes to piracy and fakes. And Tmall is one way of ensuring the consumer is protected and the manufacturer is protected.
Yeah, I've even heard of an entire hotel that was like a pirated Sheraton hotel. So all the signs and everything looked the same, but it was not part of the Sheraton, you know, Starwood chain. Yeah, definitely these things are a little bit unique to China.
Yeah, some very creative folks out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the other thing I'd really like to talk about is, so we have these stores and we've established them on the best B2C e-commerce platform in China. How is marketing done for e-commerce in China, and how does it differ from the West? So a lot of the West is, you know, search engine optimization, obviously, and then advertising and also, you know, Twitter, Facebook, social things. Is it similar in China?
It is very similar. There are, we'll talk about the differences, but to start with the similarity point, what we try to do when we onboard at companies, we try to have a series of discussions with them about, tell us how you do e-commerce marketing in your home market. Tell us what platforms you're on, what word search activity you undertake, what SEM work and banner ads you do, social media and outreach and so forth, promotional work. Tell us, do you have a Facebook page and so forth? Walk us through everything. Let's do diagnostics on what you currently do. And then let's talk about adapting this to China, but let's do it on an experimental basis. We're not 100% sure what will work or if it will work as well or so forth, but at least we have a lot of data from the home market that we can start with. So we'll normally start in that vein and spend several months with a pretty high pace of experimentation, experimenting with different words, different activity, and so forth. But I would say we usually end up with about 75% of the activity being adaptation of the home market activity and about 25% being new specifically for China. So it's a blended outcome typically at the end. The great thing about e-commerce is you get real-time data. You know what your clicks are, you know what your hits are, you know what your sales are, you know what repeat visits are. So you can get data very, very quickly, and you can adjust in real time as well.
Mm-hmm. And because it's the way of selling, so it's more platform driven than the US and North America, is the e-commerce marketing in China, is that different somehow? Because the e-commerce is more platform driven, does Tmall have a lot of power or a lot of advertising inventory that you need to work with?
Yeah, I think there's one huge difference that we keep coming back to, but that's a great point. The big difference is this: the foreign brand, the foreign products are typically a bit premium priced when they get to China, right? Even if it's more or less the same list price, more or less, because of that purchasing power point, it's more premium. It occupies more of a premium space on the spectrum. So you're not normally competing on price as a foreign manufacturer. You normally can't do that. The Chinese indigenous products are typically made by the low-cost producer, and they can compete on price. So you have to compete on some other attribute. You have to compete on some kind of functionality or the strength of the brand, something of that nature. So what we see in that platform, to go to your question about how does the platform make this different, the platform really rewards the differentiated product. And to my mind, that's the same thing as saying it sort of punishes the mass product or the undifferentiated product. If you're not differentiated, you're in that mass space, you really are then competing on price. And watch out, because that's hard to do as a foreign product. And even if you sort of win, you sort of lose because you're giving up a lot of margin and so forth, right? So you've got to really be in that differentiated space. And the consumer respects that you're bringing something very special. It might be because of the strength of the brand. It might just be because there are attributes to the product that nobody else has. For example, if you make a specialty part for a car, right, this could have a significant appeal in China because China's got as many car fanatics as the United States has, right? And if you are a car fanatic, you know, that specialty part means a lot to you. Maybe for 98% of Chinese car drivers and owners, it doesn't mean anything. They just use the car as a functional way to get around town. But for that 2% that really love their car, they want that specialty product. So that's a highly differentiated product that they don't mind paying a bit of a premium for because it makes them feel better about their car.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's a very good point about price competition as well. These platforms really make it easy for you to compare price.
Yeah, I would say you put your finger on another element of a platform based is that the social dimension of consumer behavior is stronger in China than the United States. So in China, people are more likely to do the comparative activity, more likely to share data with friends and look at reviews, more likely to contribute a review or a comment. So it's more of a social or crowdsourced activity in China than it is in the United States.
Interesting. So you work with some very well-known brands and help them with the e-commerce channel in China. Can you talk about perhaps one or two examples of specific brands and how they've been received by Chinese customers? Is there anything that surprised you?
Yeah, there's always something. We learn every day in China. I think what we'd say about e-commerce with humility is not necessarily that we have all the answers, but that we can get on top of the answers very quickly and inexpensively, and we can adjust. And that's the beauty of e-commerce is the data. The data tells you the answers, and so it's how quickly you get on top of that is really what differentiates, I think, a successful undertaking from a less successful one. But I'll give you some examples. You mentioned in the introduction, we do the National Football League. We're very proud of our relationship with the NFL. And we're launching in October the official NFL store in China. We're excited about that just as the season gets underway. And so that will have the range of NFL jerseys and shirts and caps and Wilson footballs and other great product that everybody loves. And that's just been a terrific relationship. We've been working with the NFL for over a year, selling products and testing different products on the department store I mentioned, and now we're going to a full-blown store, which is a great step ahead. The other interesting flagship store that we started in May is for a specialty rainwear company in the U.S. called Totes, T-O-T-E-S. But Totes makes umbrellas, collapsible umbrellas, and then raincoats, rain caps, specialty rain boots, and so forth. So a series of rainwear-related apparel and accessories that are just terrific. And they're a great company to work with. They have a terrific brand presence and brand image. The product fits very well, I think, with the increasing sort of desire of urban affluent Chinese to be stylish and to be comfortable in what they have and what they own. And it's been a very successful relationship.
Cool. Fantastic. It's been a really great discussion so far, and I'm glad we got the chance to dig into some of the details as well. So before we end the interview, can you tell us a little bit more about what you're excited about and what you're focusing on for next steps for Export Now?
Yep. As we say at Export Now, the trend is your friend. These two big trends, JP, of the rise of the Chinese consumer and the rise of e-commerce suggest to us that sooner or later, most companies around the world are going to want to come to terms with some kind of e-commerce strategy and some kind of China strategy. That China is a very important building block for them. And even if it's not necessarily a major market, they've got to have some kind of exposure to that market and some kind of approach there. And the size and the role of that market's only going to grow. So we get very excited about being on the right side of these two huge trends. The challenge is always sort of we're in early stage still, and awareness of China and desire to go to China can be uneven. We tend to talk to the companies that are the early adapters, the companies that are mature in their home market, or they've already gone to the like market. So you'll talk to the American firm, says, well, I've already been in Europe for 10 years, but I don't have much going on in Asia. Can you help me? Well, that's a great discussion. We can help them a lot. Every day we wake up and say there's some terrific companies out there that we need to connect with, and we need to help them get into the market and help Chinese consumers enjoy some of the great products made around the world.
I'll be looking forward to the new products that you'll be making available in China through Export Now. Is there a way that the audience can follow what you guys are doing and maybe connect with you online?
Please, I'd be delighted to connect with your friends and your audience. Please look at our webpage, exportnow.com. That's one word, exportnow.com. Or you can certainly connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter. It's just Frank Lavin, Export Now. So very happy to connect with you on LinkedIn. Very happy to connect with you on Twitter. It'd be great if you mentioned you heard JP's podcast, and I'll know where the introduction came from. You know, the great thing about this job is that it lets you connect with companies and great people around the world. It's really a fun part of what we do is there's a lot of people around the world who have really interesting products and brands, but they need distribution, and we can just help solve that problem for them. So look forward to talking with folks in your audience who want to follow up.
Fantastic. And we'll link up to Frank's Twitter account and LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Thank you very much for connecting today and getting on the show and chatting about e-commerce in China, Frank.
Thanks, JP. Good to chat with you.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of China Business Cast. Head over to chinabusinesscast.com and enter your email to get on the list. I'll announce guests before I interview them, and you'll get a chance to submit your question for the show. Till next time, thank you for listening.